Our Lord Jesus Christ is at the center of everything, the center of history, at the center of the human story, at the center of creation. He's at the center of the Advent Christmas season, of course. Well, I should say, maybe I shouldn't say of course, because a lot of Christmas celebration has seemingly nothing to do with him, but there would be no Christmas season if it were not for the birth of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is at the center, although I was out yesterday. There's a lot of Christmas decorations that have nothing to do with Christmas. I saw a big snowman, and I said, so we're in the Philippines here. I don't think there's ever been a snowman here, but okay, well, that's just a part of the festivity, so I'm not saying it's wrong to have a snowman, but you could have Christmas without a snowman, but you can't have Christmas without Jesus Christ. In the Advent season, Jesus is very prominent. In the first part of the Advent season, he's very prominent as the fulfillment of prophecies from Isaiah. Now that we're in the second part of Advent, you'll notice that Jesus, even though he's still at the center of the whole story, he's the purpose of the whole thing, he's a little bit in the background because he's not born yet. So we get focus on some of the other figures in the story, today most prominently Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph in relation to the birth of the Messiah, but mostly about Joseph. Yesterday our focus was on John the Baptist. There was hardly a mention of Jesus at all in the whole liturgy yesterday. So today Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph is a descendant of David, he's from the line of David. That's why he can be referred to as a son of David, and he can also be seen as a fulfillment of, partially a fulfillment of the prophecy in today's first reading. This is from Jeremiah now. You see how we broke the pattern. On Saturday, we didn't read from Isaiah, we read from Sirach. Today we read from Jeremiah, and we have more variety in this second part of Advent. Anyway, so in Jeremiah, it says that days are coming, the days of the Messiah, when the Lord will raise up a righteous shoot to David, meaning a descendant of David. Now that is certainly a reference to the Messiah, but it's also a reference to Joseph, the legal father of the Messiah, it's because of Joseph that Jesus can be called son of David, legally. Now, I was reflecting a little bit on the difference between Joseph, focus of today's gospel, and St. John the Baptist, focus of yesterday's gospel, partly because I was so struck yesterday at how clear John was about his mission. And we know John knew who he was from the earliest days because his parents told him. Before you were even conceived, his father said to him, the angel told me who you're going to be. You're going to come in the spirit of Elijah. And Elizabeth would say, I remember when Mary came to visit and you leapt in my womb. I mean, so John the Baptist knew who he was and he knew his mission from very, very early. Doesn't mean he understood it all, but he's unusual in this sense that he always knew who he was. Now, maybe it's not equivalent, but someone born into a royal family, let's say one of the descendants of the English royalty, when they're born, they know exactly how they fit into the line of succession, and they know that they're going to be in the royal family and they have to fulfill the duties of royalty. But most people are not like that. When they're born, it's kind of an unwritten book. And in this sense, Joseph is a lot, we're more like Joseph than we are like John the Baptist, because Joseph, as far as we know, didn't know what his role would be. We don't know if there was any prophetic announcement to his parents or to him as a younger man that he would suddenly be the head of the Holy Family. Joseph is seemingly kept in the dark until this news is sprung on him by surprise, and it comes to him when Jesus is already in the womb of Mary. So it's not like he has a choice about it. It's already happening. unlike Mary, who was, and we'll read about her in a couple of days, she was asked before she conceived, or she was told what God's plan was. But Joseph wasn't told ahead of time. Mary's already pregnant. He's not the father. This is the dilemma he faces. The reason why this is good to reflect on is because God does do a lot of things without announcing it to us ahead of time. He doesn't have to have our permission to do his great work. But when he wants us to participate, then he has to say, well, this is what I'm up to. Now will you say yes to it? So Joseph, his greatness comes out when he does say yes to this really shocking, surprising intervention into his life. Perhaps, again, this is unlike the experience of John the Baptist, Joseph is a greater example to us of the journey of faith, a journey in the darkness of faith, to trust that God is at work in ways we don't understand. And that's very much Joseph's experience. Joseph, in fact, comes on the scene with this gospel as the legal descendant of David and the legal father of Mary's son. And then we know he's present in Jesus' childhood. And then he just disappears. After the finding of Jesus in the temple, there's no more mention of Joseph, at least as a living figure. He's still recognized as the carpenter, but he's not around anymore. And so he wasn't present during Jesus' public ministry. So he becomes such a background figure that he's practically forgotten. In Advent, we often speak about the big three, you know? Isaiah, John the Baptist, Mary. These are the three Advent preparation figures. What about Joseph? Well, he wasn't mentioned until today. Joseph. And no one in Joseph's lifetime, as far as we know, asked who he was or what his role was. Unlike John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist, he made a big splash. Maybe he's the Messiah, or maybe he's Elijah. And in yesterday's gospel, people came to him and said, Who are you? What are we supposed to think about you? How do we understand your role in the plan of God? Nobody asked Joseph that. Who are you? What's your role? He was like a nobody, just a carpenter, an unnoticed figure, and yet a key figure in the plan of God, a very important figure, essential figure. So it's a great example to us of how God works through seemingly unimportant people, unimportant events, unimportant decisions. God sees things so much differently than we do. Joseph is enlightened while he's asleep. It's another one of these mysterious things. As if God trusted Joseph to be able to handle this. He didn't have to give him a brilliant vision in a temple. He could whisper to him in his sleep. And it would be good enough. Joseph's greatness is that he runs with what little he's given. He's so total in his commitment to, and his faith commitment to what has been revealed to him. As it happens, this morning at exactly 4 a.m., I was awakened. I thought I heard somebody calling out for help. And I woke up and I looked at the clock exactly 4 o'clock. I realized after a couple of seconds or a minute that it was a cat. You know, cats sometimes sound like human voices. There was a cat, you know, screaming outside my window, and it sounded to me like somebody crying for help. Well, and after that, I was so wide awake I couldn't fall back asleep. But so I started looking at the gospel of today, and I'm thinking about Joseph. Now, Joseph was not awakened by this. He received it in a dream. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, identifying his messianic line there, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. It is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived. So he's given an enormous revelation, but in a very subtle way. I mean, it's like an insight. You know this, when you wake up, dreams are a little hard to grasp. Something kind of vague about them. Well, a dream like this was not vague, but it was a dream. It wasn't a vision. So that's why Joseph is a great figure of the experience of moving in a kind of darkness. Now, I'm thinking of the icon of St. Joseph, protector of the Anuim, that Father Francis drew years ago. And in this icon, you're familiar with this, there's Joseph embracing Mary, and Mary's embracing Jesus. Joseph's heart is exposed there, Mary's heart, and Jesus' heart is being interchanged with the Eucharist. So it's a profound image of how the Holy Family's inner life was working. But on the outside of this image, there's behind Joseph's head a whole bunch of dark clouds. I've told this story before. It's an ugly mess. And at one stage when we were in the process of trying to reprint images of St. Joseph, someone suggested, why don't we get all that dark stuff out of there? Why don't we get that messy, it looks like a bunch of squiggly lines. Those are clouds, and that's a symbol of the darkness in which Joseph had to journey most of the time. He didn't see with his eyes what he had to believe in his faith. Now, the clouds are scattered when it comes to the left side of the icon. There's a little triangle there. That's God, the divine revelation shining through. And it's directed toward this angel. Now, there's this angel here that's the angel. This is today's gospel. That's why I'm picking up this image. Today's gospel is Jesus, is the angel appearing to Joseph in a dream. And then Father Francis put in this inscription, Joseph, the servant of God, did as the angel directed, taking Mary into his home. Thus, the peace of Christ now reigns in our hearts. So it's a reflection on this gospel, but it's an extension. Jesus, whose name is revealed to Joseph in the dream, Jesus, whose name means Savior, God saves, is welcomed into the human family, first of all, by Mary, but in this gospel, by Joseph. And Joseph accepts Mary and Jesus into his home. And that's why the peace of Christ now reigns in our hearts. So the point is, because Mary said her yes, as we will get to, and I think it's Wednesday, and because Joseph said his yes, we're the beneficiaries. One small application we can take from this. When we say yes to God in the darkness of faith, trusting in God, others are also the beneficiaries. See, one small yes to God is not small in the unfolding of the kingdom. Because one yes to God unleashes divine power. Joseph had no idea of the extent of what his decision to take Mary would be. How could he know? And we don't know either when we say yes to God. We give God permission to do more than we can ask or imagine. And that's a very important Advent attitude. Without knowing, with a certain amount of darkness, with a leap of faith, we say, Lord, okay, your will be done. I will do what you reveal, what you say. And when we say that yes, God takes over from there. Very beautiful and exciting journey, but difficult, because God takes us by surprise and does things that we don't understand. That's okay. That's okay. Because if God's in charge, things will work out. And that's what Joseph teaches us.